Greetings, it's December 17th, 2024, and this is the Arizona Daily Star brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona and read by David Grant. At the top of the front page, AZ's DCS violates disability law, U.S. says. This is from Howard Fisher of Capital Media Services. The Arizona Department of Child Safety is violating federal law by discriminating against both parents and children with disabilities, according to the U.S. Justice Department. In findings released Monday, the federal agency said that DCS does not communicate effectively with parents and children with hearing disabilities and fails to provide interpreters. The Justice Department also said that the state failed to reasonably accommodate the needs of parents with disabilities in several ways, including not providing information in simplified form. The new report also said the Department of Child Safety denies parents with disabilities an equal chance to participate in and benefit from DCS programs and services. All of that violates the Americans with Disabilities Act, the Justice Department said. Quote, under the ADA, parents and children with disabilities are entitled to fair and equal treatment by child welfare agencies, quote, unquote, said Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division in a prepared statement. That's particularly important because DCS gets involved with parents, with families, in cases of abuse and neglect. It is that department that decides when to remove a child from a home, at least temporarily, if not permanently, and what steps parents need to take to be reunited with their children. The Civil Rights Division is committed to ensuring that unlawful discrimination does not interfere with a parent's opportunity to stay with or be reunited with their child, and that separations are not prolonged because the child welfare agency does not give parents the effective communication and reasonable accommodations that the ADA guarantees, Clark said. There was no immediate response from DCS. So far, the federal government has not filed suit. Instead, it sent a 13-page letter to DCS Director David Lujan detailing in depth its findings and exactly why the Justice Department contends the department is violating the law. The letter contains a list of things Justice says DCS must do, at a minimum, to come into compliance with the federal law. Most significant, it requires DCS to develop and implement changes in policies and procedures to ensure that parents with disabilities have equal access to DCS programs, services, and activities without discrimination. That must include changes in DCS assessments, case plans and psychological evaluations, service plans, visitation and reunification programs and services. Justice also wants DCS workers and the private contractors they work with to undergo training and compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. That includes how to consistently document the disabilities of parents and children and how to provide appropriate modifications and effective communication to both. DCS is also ordered to adopt and publish grievance procedures to resolve complaints against the department for violating federal law, as well as to pay unspecified compensatory damage to those who have complained of injuries caused by its violations of the law. The clock is running. In the letter to Lujan, Rebecca Bond, chief of the Disability Rights Section of the Department of Justice, said he should contact her agency within 2 weeks if Arizona is interested in working with the department to reach a solution. We hope to collaborate with Arizona and agree on changes the state will make to remedy the violations, she wrote. We must inform you, however, that if Arizona will not negotiate or if our negotiations fail, the United States may take appropriate action, including initiating a lawsuit, to remedy Arizona's ADA violations. The letter to Lujan details some specific examples in which the DOJ says DCS denies parents with disabilities an equal chance to show that they can safely parent. One case involves a father of two who became involved with DCS when the children's mother died shortly after giving birth to their younger child, who was born early. According to the DOJ, the state knew from the start that the father, who lived independently, had a learning disability. DCS removed the younger child amid concerns that the father was not feeding the baby properly. While the department did not identify safety concerns for the older child, it removed that child too, based solely on the father's disability and DCS speculation that the father had developmental delays. DCS subsequently returned the older child with no issues, but DOJ said the removal was traumatic for both the child and the father because it happened shortly after the mother's death. The case of the younger child lasted several years, DOJ said, with DCS focused on the father's cognitive limitations and his adaptability. Those are both in quotes. DCS employees made many decisions based on assumptions and stereotypes about the father's disability, the letter from Bond stated. They did not consistently provide the father with the reasonable modifications he asked for or obviously needed, such as written summaries or oral explanations of the child's medical appointments or parenting classes or other services tailored for a parent with a learning disability, Bond continued. DCS gave the father no services to help him build skills to raise a child with medical needs. After 3 years, Bond said, the father gave up his parental rights to his younger child. The report cites other instances, including DCS removing a newborn baby from a couple at a hospital based on generalized concern that the mother's autism and ADHD made her an unsafe parent, something the federal agency said occurred based solely on her disability, with no actions or incidents that the DCS could identify as the basis for these concerns. Requiring a mother with traumatic brain injury to go for a neuropsychological evaluation based only on her history of TBI without identifying any specific concerns on how that was affecting her parenting, a move DOJ said likely prolonged her separation from her children. DCS's refusal to provide even partially unsupervised visits to a couple, each with intellectual and developmental disabilities, even though they might have been able to parent as a team with occasional help from their support system, and that the DCS required multiple psychological evaluations based on stereotypes and generalizations about parents with disabilities. In addition, the report said that some DCS employees used derogatory and outdated terms to refer to parents with disabilities. For example, DCS employees heard coworkers and supervisors call parents with mental health disabilities crazy, loony, or psycho, Bond wrote. One DCS supervisor described a parent's learning disability as mental retardation, even though that term is outdated and in an inaccurate description of a learning disability. Howard Fisher is a veteran journalist and has been reporting since 1970, covering state politics and the legislature since 1982. You can follow him on X, Blue Sky, and Threads at AZCap Media or email azcapmedia@gmail.com. Sassy elf owl rescued in Tucson becomes a big TikTok star. This is from Gloria Knott of the Arizona Daily Star. Mark Hammond had no idea that he was a co-star in a viral video until it reached more than 1.5 million views. Right after Thanksgiving, my stepson called me and said, "Hey, do you know that you got 1 million views on TikTok?" Hammond said. Long before TikTok, Tucson-based Animal Experts, Inc. has shared videos on social media of their frequent wildlife rescues. But it was one tiny, incredibly sassy owl that went viral, racking up more than 21 million views on TikTok. Comments call the elf owl a diva who is serving face for no reason, and they're absolutely correct. Think Jessica Rabbit's seductive eyes, but on the smallest owl in the world. The video has gone so viral that it's basically become a meme, leading to more than 1,500 TikToks using the audio from the Animal Experts video as people recreate the owl's star-studded looks and slow blinks of his cat-shaped eyes. In the video, Hammond, who runs Animal Experts with Jeff Carver, explains that the owl was stuck in an attic when the rescue company was called. He'd seen the owls in books and on TV, but never in person until the November rescue. It's a kind of rare video because they are very secluded and they spend a lot of time up in these saguaro cavities that are made by woodpeckers, he said in the video. While the elf owl is perched in his hand, he offers some fun facts about the species. They feed on lizards and venomous insects. They have to hide from predators like coyotes, snakes, and other owls. And when they're threatened, they play dead. Hundreds of commentators left the video wondering if the owl, who Hammond initially thought was a baby, was safe. The answer is yes. After capturing the owl from the attic and rehydrating it, the rescuers released the owl. I really got a kick out of some of the other people who are using the sound of the owl and making their own content, Hammond said in a follow-up video. Truthfully, Hammond didn't actually have a TikTok before his video went viral. Usually he films the videos, then sends them off to a digital marketing company to post. He downloaded the app when he learned of the owl's fame. I was very much surprised, he said. He said that Animal Experts, Inc. was founded 33 years ago as a side gig while Hammond and Carver were working at the Pima Animal Care Center. When the center stopped handling wildlife concerns, dispatchers didn't know how to direct the call. That's when the light bulb went off for Hammond. It's fun. We get up every day and we thank God every day for this business he's provided us with, he said. I don't think about retiring. I'm going to be just like Joe Biden or Donald Trump, going to work in their 80s. You can follow Animal Experts on TikTok at tiktok.com/@AnimalExpertsAZ. Gloria, a University of Arizona grad, loves all things Tucson and hopes to share her love of the city with readers. Trump weighs in on New York mayor, vaccines, and drones. President-elect holds his first news conference since the November vote. Colleen Long and Jill Colvin of Associated Press, Palm Beach, Florida. In a freewheeling press conference at his Mar-a-Lago club, President-elect Donald Trump said Monday he would consider pardoning embattled New York Mayor Eric Adams, declaring the country was not going to lose the polio vaccine, and weighed in on the flurry of drone sightings over New York, New Jersey. Holding court with reporters for the first time since he won the election and secured a second term, Trump also called on the Biden administration to stop selling off unused portions of the southern border wall, threatening legal action. After spending most of the last few weeks mostly behind closed doors at Mar-a-Lago, Trump used the session to test drive policy ideas, attack his enemies, and issue warnings of what is to come. That included a threat of a lawsuit against famed Iowa pollster Ann Seltzer, whose final survey before the election badly underestimated Trump's support in the state, which he won. In my opinion, it was fraud and election interference, Trump claimed to the survey. Seltzer, who declined to comment, announced that she would retire her polling operation last month but said she decided to do that before the election. ABC News announced over the weekend that it agreed to pay $15 million towards Trump's presidential library to settle a defamation lawsuit that he had filed over anchor George Stephanopoulos's inaccurate on-air assertion that the president-elect was found civilly liable for raping a writer. Continuing his threats of legal action, Trump railed Monday against the Biden administration over the border wall material sales, saying he spoke to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton and other Texas officials about a potential restraining order. Congress last year required the Biden administration to dispose of the unused border wall pieces. The measure, which included a massive National Defense Authorization Act, allows for the sale or donation of the items to the states on the southern border, providing they are used to refurbish existing barriers, not install new ones. I'm asking today Joe Biden to stop selling the wall, Trump said. The Department of Defense, however, said further sales can't be blocked because all the excess border wall already was distributed. Most was provided to other federal agencies and state governments as required in the defense legislation signed December 22, 2023. The rest was sold to GovPlanet, which buys and auctions off government surplus. While Trump described the handover between Biden and his incoming team as a friendly transition, he also took issue with efforts to allow some members of the federal workforce to continue working from home. Trump said that if government workers don't come back into the office under him, they will be dismissed. Trump also weighed in on Adams, who faces federal fraud and corruption charges. Asked if he would consider pardoning Adams, Trump said, "Yeah, I would. I think he was treated pretty unfairly," Trump said, while at the same time acknowledging that he doesn't know all the facts. Adams is accused of accepting flight upgrades and other luxury travel perks valued at $100,000, along with illegal campaign contributions from a Turkish official and other foreign nationals looking to buy his influence. He pleaded not guilty. Members of his administration have also come under investigation. Adams, who insists he did nothing wrong, told reporters Monday that his attorney was going to go look at every avenue to ensure I get justice. Trump was pressed repeatedly on the future of vaccines amid concerns over his decision to choose the so-called anti-vaccine advocate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to lead the Department of Health and Human Services, which regulates the shots. Trump again declined to dismiss the long debunked theory that vaccines cause autism and that Kennedy would examine the already well-studied question. But he assured the public that one of the most successful vaccines would not be barred by his administration. "You're not going to lose the polio vaccine," he said, calling himself a big believer in it. Outgoing Republican leader Mitch McConnell, who had polio as a child, said Friday that Trump's nominees seeking Senate confirmation should steer clear of efforts to discredit the polio vaccine, calling them not just uninformed but dangerous. Trump also weighed in on the mysterious drone sightings over parts of New Jersey and the eastern U.S. that sparked speculation and concern over where they were coming from. Taking a conspiratorial tone, Trump insisted, without offering evidence, that the government knows what's happening. "Our military knows, and our president knows, and for some reason they want to keep people in suspense," he said, refusing to say whether he was briefed on the sightings. Trump has spent weeks since his win building his incoming administration and speaking to what he claimed were over 100 world leaders. But he's played coy on whether that list included Russian President Vladimir Putin. "I'm not going to comment on the Putin question," he said. When it comes to escalating tensions in the Middle East, Trump said he would consider pulling U.S. troops out of Syria after rebels overthrew the country's leader, Bashar Assad. Trump was joined in the appearance by SoftBank Group CEO Masayoshi Son, who announced that the Japanese company plans to invest $100 billion in U.S. projects over the next 4 years. And as we come up to about 20 minutes after the hour, we're going to go to national and international news. Drone sightings. State deploys detectors. Governor says the instruments failed to uncover wrongdoing. This is from Dave Collins and Mike Catalini of the Associated Press. Trenton, New Jersey. Drone detecting devices deployed in New Jersey in the past week found little to no evidence of anything nefarious or threatening, Governor Phil Murphy said on Monday, as calls grew for action to address the mysterious nighttime sightings of suspected unmanned flights across the northeastern U.S. Murphy told reporters in Trenton that there were 12 sightings of suspected drones in the state on Saturday and one on Sunday. He declined to go into detail about the detection equipment, but said it was powerful enough to disable the drones, though he added that it is not legal on U.S. soil. Murphy, a Democrat, echoed calls by state officials elsewhere for Congress to allow them to deal with drones. Nearly all the power now rests with the federal government. It is extraordinary to me that a nation as great as ours and as powerful as ours has the deficiencies that we now seem to be seeing in living color as it relates to drone incursions, Murphy said. Federal officials, including Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, said there are no signs that drone operators showed bad intent, nor is there any evidence of foreign involvement. There is no question that people are seeing drones, Mayorkas told ABC's George Stephanopoulos on Sunday, but I want to assure the American public that we're on it. We are working in close coordination with state and local authorities. Conspiracy theories about foreign actors and the U.S. government and the deep state abound online. While elected officials concerned about threats to military bases, airports, and other locations increased their calls for federal officials to act. Over the past 2 days, New York and Pennsylvania officials also requested drone-detecting equipment from federal officials. After reports of drones in Connecticut, state police said they are monitoring drone activity, and state officials said analysts were comparing reported sightings with federal flight data. At a media briefing on Monday, the Pentagon's press secretary, Air Force Major General Pat Ryder, said the defense officials see no indication that the drones are being controlled by a foreign country. According to the Federal Aviation Administration, he said there are about 1 million registered drones in the U.S. and about 8,000 are flying any given day. Ryder said that while military bases overseas can use surveillance methods that quickly address the origin of drones, that power is limited in U.S. airspace because of domestic surveillance laws. Ex-FBI informant admits lies in Biden-linked ruse. Now closed probe was central to Republican impeachment attempt, Associated Press, Los Angeles. A former FBI informant pleaded guilty Monday to lying about a phony bribery scheme involving President Joe Biden and his son Hunter that became central to the Republican impeachment inquiry in Congress. Alexander Smirnoff pleaded to a felony charge in connection with the bogus story, along with tax evasion charge stemming from a separate indictment accusing him of concealing millions of dollars in income. An attorney for Smirnoff, 44, declined to comment after the hearing. Prosecutors and the defense agreed to recommend a sentence of between 4 and 6 years in prison when he's sentenced next month. Smirnoff will get credit for the time he has served since his February arrest on charges that he told his FBI handler that executives from the Ukrainian energy company Burisma paid President Biden and Hunter Biden $5 million each in about 2015. Smirnoff only had routine business dealings with Burisma starting in 2017, according to the court documents. An FBI field office investigated the allegations and recommended the case be closed in August 2020. And moving on to the News Digest. Judge rejects Trump bid in hush money conviction. New York. A judge Monday rejected President-elect Donald Trump's bid to have his hush money conviction dismissed because of the U.S. Supreme Court's recent ruling on presidential immunity. But the case's overall future remains unclear. Manhattan Judge Juan M. Merchan's decision eliminates one potential off-ramp from the case ahead of Trump's return to office next month, but his lawyers have raised other arguments for dismissal. Prosecutors have said there should have been some accommodation for his upcoming presidency, but they insist the conviction should stand. A jury convicted Trump in May of 34 counts of falsifying business records related to a $100,000 hush money payment to porn actress Stormy Daniel in 2016. Trump denies wrongdoing. TikTok asks High Court for order to block U.S. ban, Washington. TikTok on Monday asked the Supreme Court to step in on an emergency basis to block the federal law that would ban the popular platform in the United States unless its Chinese-based parent company agrees to sell it. Lawyers for the company and China-based ByteDance urged the justices to step in before the law's January 19th deadline. A similar plea was filed by content creators who rely on the platform for income, and some of TikTok's more than 170 million users in the U.S. President-elect Donald Trump, who once supported a ban but then pledged during the campaign to save TikTok, said his administration would take a look at the situation. Briefly, Assad. Ousted Syrian President Bashar Assad said on Monday that he had on Facebook that he had no plans to leave the country after the fall of Damascus a week ago, but the Russian military evacuated him from its base in western Syria after it came under attack. Amazon. At least two internal Amazon studies found a link between how quickly the online retailers' warehouse workers perform tasks and workplace injuries, but the company rejected many safety recommendations out of concern that the proposed changes might reduce productivity, according to a Senate committee report released Sunday night. Amazon pushed back on the findings Monday. Navarro. The Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal Monday from Peter Navarro, the former White House official who is set to return in Donald Trump's second term, after the Justice Department sued Navarro seeking surrender of presidential records he had retained on an unofficial email account. Cyclone. French rescue teams worked Monday in the country's island territory of Mayotte, where Prefect François-Xavier Beauville said Sunday the death toll from Cyclone Chido was several hundred and may run into the thousands. Deforestation. Paraguayan authorities arrested 26 people in a crackdown on suspected illegal deforestation along the country's border with Brazil and Argentina. Interpol announced Monday, saying 12 companies were involved in the alleged trafficking of native tree species. And finally, the EU. The European Union on Monday moved to impose visa restrictions on Georgian diplomats and government officials over the police crackdown on opposition protesters and demanding a rerun of October's contested election. This is all brought to you through the Associated Press. Turning to Tucson and regional news, Medicaid cuts would put thousands of Arizonans at risk. This is from Stephanie Innes of the Arizona Republic. Republican efforts to target health care could take away coverage for thousands of Arizonans and return hospitals to an era where emergency departments were filled with very sick, uninsured patients, some providers say. Changes to Medicaid are expected when President-elect Donald Trump takes office with a Republican-controlled Congress, and a potential target for spending cuts is the Medicaid expansion that was allowed through the Federal Affordable Care Act, according to November 27th analysis by KFF, an independent health policy research and information organization. Arizona is one of nine states with a so-called trigger law that would automatically repeal its Medicaid expansion program if enhanced federal funding drops below 90%. Research by the KFF and Georgetown Center for Children and Families says. In Arizona, the trigger for the Medicaid expansion population activates when federal matching funds dip below 80%, which would be a significant blow to the Arizona program and could remove coverage for thousands of enrollees. Other potentially affected states are Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Montana, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Utah, and Virginia, KFF reporter Phil Galowitz wrote on December 4th. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs is aware of the various proposals, quote, threatening jobs and access to health care for everyday Arizonans, unquote, a spokesperson wrote Friday in an email. While we won't engage in hypotheticals, the governor's office is working with stakeholders to ensure that they are aware of the ramifications of the various proposals and the devastating impact they could have on Arizona families and our economy, Christian Slater wrote. Officials with Arizona's Medicaid program told the Arizona Republic in an email that the agency is aware of the potential funding cut and is in the process of analyzing the possible impacts on AHCCCS, aka Access, members and funding. It's difficult to predict what a potential decrease in enrollment and funding may look like without knowing for certain that there is going to be a cut, and if so, to what extent, the agency's statement says. Medicaid is a health insurance for primarily low-income people, and in Arizona it enrolls 2.1 million people and is known as the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment Center, or ACCESS. Medicaid expansion allowed for more people to qualify for the government-funded program by expanding the qualifications to those earning 138% of the federal poverty level, or $20,783 per year for an individual. It's unclear how many more state Medicaid enrollees would be affected by the reduction in enhanced federal funding, but it could be more than 500,000 people. The adult Medicaid expansion population in Arizona is 70,866 people, an additional population of 448,592 childless adults is likely to be affected by a drop in enhanced federal funding because of a hospital assessment that the federal funding drop would eliminate. If 70,866 or more as Arizonans lose access coverage and can't afford to purchase their own health insurance, the result would be what's known as cost shifting, where health care expenses shift from the government program to the hospital and the provider system that will have to give uncompensated care to uninsured people, said Dr. Daniel Dirksen, a health policy expert who is the director of the Arizona Center for Rural Health at the University of Arizona. If you price people out of the market, guess what happens? They go without. And when they get sick, you are talking about the hospitals, the physicians, and others shouldering a higher burden of charity care than uncompensated care. Dirksen said, "So, you are not really saving money. You're just shifting who has to pay the cost for that care to the providers and the hospitals." When Arizona passed Medicaid expansion in 2013 under then-Republican Governor Jan Brewer, it not only increased the access income limit, but also restored coverage for childless adults who had lost their coverage during state budget cuts in 2011, which resulted in hundreds of thousands of more Arizonans gaining coverage. A potential drop in enhanced federal funding for Medicaid expansion would also repeal the Arizona Hospital Assessment, which is the primary source of funding for the childless adult population, access officials say. The childless adults on Medicaid are often known as the Proposition 204 population, in reference to the year 2000 voter mandate that the state provide health care for everyone below a certain below the federal poverty level. Medicaid is not the only health care program that could be on the chopping block when the Congress reconvenes and a new presidential administration assumes control of federal agencies. Federal subsidies that have significantly reduced monthly premiums for health care insurance marketplace plans based plans offered through the Affordable Care Act, known as ACA, are set to expire at the end of 2025. ACA health care plans are sometimes also known as Obamacare. Without the enhanced ACA subsidies and with Medicaid cuts, Dirksen said, Arizona's rate of uninsured people could likely end up being pretty close to where we were before the Affordable Care Act. I think we would be at between 18 and 20% uninsured, potentially 1 in 5 Arizonans being uninsured versus an uninsured rate of between 9 and 11% now. He said, that's the kind of math that closes our rural and critical access hospitals. Health providers and some politicians are braced for a challenge to the entire 2010 Affordable Care Act, which offers benefits to that many Americans may not realize, including allowing young adults to stay on their parents' health insurance until they're 26, and not allowing health insurance companies to refuse to cover people because of pre-existing conditions. Promising to fight like heck to protect the Affordable Care Act, U.S. Representative Greg Stanton, Democrat of Arizona, and Representative-elect Yasemin Ansari on Friday held a roundtable about upcoming threats to health care with a group of Arizona medical leaders. That group included Chief Clinical Officer Dr. Michael White at Valleywise Health Medical Center, 2601 East Roosevelt Street in Phoenix, which is Ansari's third congressional district. It's our responsibility to make sure that the people of Arizona, the people of this country, know what is actually at stake for people's lives and their health care if they push through the elimination of the ACA, Stanton said. When the ACA was signed into law in 2010, as the people at this round table know, it was a game changer for American health care. U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson said in the fall that House Republicans would propose massive reform to the ACA if they ended up controlling both chambers in Congress and the presidency, Stanton noted. He also pointed out the Republican Study Committee's fiscal year 2025 budget proposes to cut total federal Medicaid, Children's Health Insurance Program, Kids Care in Arizona, and Affordable Care Act marketplace subsidy spending. Providers say expanded access to health care that happened with the Affordable Care Act, including Medicaid expansion, has made a huge improvement in the state in the health of state residents, allowing more people to access preventative health care before their chronic conditions progress into more serious health problems. Prior to Medicaid expansion, health outcomes at Valleywise Health, which is Maricopa County's public health system, were some of the worst in the nation, White said Friday during the roundtable discussion. As we've seen our expansion in coverage, we've seen folks who are now able to access preventative health care. They are able to see us in our primary care clinics. They are able to see us in our specialty clinics and treat these conditions prior to them becoming a significant health problem leading to disability and an inability to work, White said. We've actually seen improvement in our emergency department. We're not seeing the chronic severe presentations of relatively common illnesses to come in at late end stages. We're able to intervene earlier. Dr. Nadeem Kazi, president of the Arizona Medical Association and a practicing gastroenterologist in Casa Grande, noted that the ACA's full name is the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Without it, patient protection will be gone, he said, recalling a time before ACA in Casa Grande when its hospital emergency room was filled with uninsured patients. If we take the ACA away, it's going to be a disaster, Kazi said. In an interview after the roundtable, Stanton said that educating the general public and elected officials about potential impacts of health care funding cuts will be critical. It will also be important for Democrats to reaffirm their support for the ACA and Medicaid. With enough awareness, bipartisan support could preserve the ACA and Medicaid funding, he said, noting that the late Arizona Republican U.S. Senator John McCain vote against repealing portions of the ACA in July 2017. It will be unacceptable to the American people. It will be unacceptable to the people of Arizona if we eliminate the ACA, Stanton said. We're going to need the Senator John McCain's of 2025 and 2026, who are willing to buck the vast majority of their party and are proposing to significantly cut back support for ACA. And now we're approaching 20 minutes before the hour. Rural New Mexico, Arizona residents oppose Air Force training flight expansion. This is from Nicolette Valenzuela of Cronkite News, Silver City, New Mexico. Silver City, a small town in southwestern New Mexico, preserving its mining character and stands unbothered by modernity and commercialization. The town's hilly streets introduce visitors to its quiet beauty. Everything whispers a story, such as a 150-year-old palace hotel with mine entrance, with a mine entrance in its basement. North of the town's many Victorian, Spanish colonial, and American Western-style houses, some more, some less elaborate, Silver City is a gateway to the mountainous region of the vast Gila National Forest. The Gila Wilderness is defined in the Wilderness Act of 1964 as an area where the earth and its community of life are untrammeled by man, where man himself is a visitor who does not remain. In layman's terms, the wilderness stays wild and pure as it was intended, as it started out, even before we came here, said Brett Myrick, a Navy SEAL veteran from Silver City. I worked wilderness trails for the Forest Service, and as a wilderness trails technician, we don't take a wheel into the wilderness. We don't like take a chainsaw to clear the trees. We go in with crosscut saws like from the late 1800s. No noise, no fumes. It's a place of quiet, a place of solitude. But this harmony, quiet, solitude, and even public health are now under threat, some residents and public officials say. The Department of Air Force wants to change how low, how fast, and how often, and at what type time military aircraft can fly, what the planes can release, and in what quantities. The Air Force is proposing to turn giant swaths of southern Arizona and southwestern New Mexico into low-level military operations training areas, said Allison Siwick, executive director of the Gila Conservation Coalition. The 212 draft of Environmental Impact Statement, DEIS, includes requests for supersonic, faster than speed of sound, flights at lower altitudes to accommodate the military's growing need for training at three Arizona bases, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, Luke Air Force Base, and Morris Air National Guard. The Air Force and Luke Air Force Base did not respond to requests for comment from Cronkite News. Military jets that fly faster than the speed of sound produce sonic booms, which the human ear interprets as an explosion or a loud thunder. In Silver City, some residents have the experience with previous Air Force training flights. When it flew over my house, it shook the windows, and it'll shake a building. It'll break windows, said retired Vietnam veteran Arthur Ratcliffe, referring to low-altitude military training flights over Grant County, New Mexico, which includes Silver City. Myrick also experienced a scare set off by an aircraft approaching over the Gila Wilderness. The explosion of sound that blasted down into the canyon where I was, I went to the ground. It scared me and the animals in the area. The concussion from the ground of that aircraft flying over even actually created a rockfall, Myrick said. The veteran said that the sudden sound of military aircraft flying close to the ground would be triggering for any service member. That plane flying over me in the Middle Fork still sits with me today. It's a memory that I don't want to have, Myrick said. Ratcliffe, who moved to the Silver City area for its peaceful nature, joined other community members to voice his concern over the proposed changes. Sonic booms triggers my PTS, post-traumatic syndrome, symptoms, creates great anxiety. I have had several panic attacks as the result of loud noises, explosions. While military aircraft have trained at supersonic speeds before, the changes would lower the flight floor for the five military operation areas, MOAs, designated for military training airspace. In three MOAs, the floor will be lowered to 500 feet, while in two others, it will be lowered to 100 feet above the ground. That is essentially like having warfare games literally above your head, and so we are very concerned about these areas being used as sacrifice zones, said Patrice Muchnick, director of the educational nonprofit Heart of the Gila. U.S. Representative Gabe Vasquez, a Democrat of New Mexico, released a letter opposing the expansion, expressing concerns over increased noise pollution and threats to the environment and tourism. A letter from Representative Raul Grijalva, Democrat of Arizona cites a lack of transparency and community engagement underlining insufficient public hearing and ignoring the Freedom of Information Act requests. Tohono O'odham Nation, the San Carlos Apache, White Mountain Apache tribes will also be impacted by the proposed changes. Both Tohono O'odham Nation and San Carlos Apache tribe submitted public comments criticizing the DEIS for inadequately addressing the proposal's negative effect on the tribal communities and failure to meaningfully consult the tribes. The Environmental Protection Agency recently examined the DEIS, highlighting public health concerns such as inadequate investigation of sleep disturbances, the possibility of hearing loss, the surprise factor of low-level and supersonic flights, and the lack of investigation into overall health impacts of noise exposure. Those who will be affected if the proposals go through agree with the EPA that the Air Force failed to investigate all possible health effects thoroughly. The DEIS noise analysis pretty much says that it's just too hard to assess the impacts of noise. We can't do it. They have a responsibility to assess those impacts, and it can be done, said Siwak. Siwak is also a member of Peaceful Gila Skies, an initiative formed in 2017 to successfully oppose the Holloman Air Force Base's proposal to expand military training over the Gila region. Together with the Peaceful Chiricahua Skies, the two groups collected over 900 signatures to halt the modifications over Gila wilderness, rural communities, and tribal lands. Earlier this year, a group of scientists published their findings in the Journal of Exposure Science and Environmental Epidemiology, revealing that military aircraft noise near Naval Air Station Whidbey Island, north of Seattle, was exceeding federal regulations and putting the health of the studied population at substantial risk. That includes degraded sleep and learning delays in school-aged children. The thought of military fighter aircraft flying at supersonic speeds and releasing magnesium flares and chafe over a pristine wilderness is an abomination to the sanctity of wilderness, Myrick said. Voicing community and wilderness preservationists' other two major concerns, flares that are released during maneuvering can ignite wildfires and chaff, the aluminum-coated silica fibers used to confuse enemy radar systems. The Air Force's proposed changes include authorization to use chaff and lowering the release altitude for flares. Chaff contains per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAS, dubbed forever chemicals because they do not break down. PFAS can leak into drinking water, soil, and wildlife, and have been linked to increased risks of cancer, decreased fertility, and developmental delays in children, according to the EPA. After the EPA set new drinking water standards, considerably limiting PFAS this year, the limits were challenged by water utilities and chemical manufacturers, calling the rules unreasonable in its demands to remove the chemicals from drinking water. We fully support our military and the need for fighter pilots to have adequate training, Siwak said. We just feel that the draft environmental impact statement did not adequately defend its purpose and need for this proposed action. In addition, Siwak and others in the community wonder why the military is not considering alternatives such as the Barry M. Goldwater Range, the vast military training facility in southwest Arizona. We are encouraging the Arizona to go back to the drawing board and redo the draft environmental impact statement. Myrick said, it's important to keep the region pristine and protected. If the proposal is approved, I will actually be forced to sell my place. I would have to move away from here because I will absolutely not be able to stomach those jets flying over this wilderness. This is my home, fifth generation, and I love this place. So that's how important it is to me to make sure this does not happen. So now let's move on to hints from Heloise. Stash some cash for emergencies. Dear Eloise, You never know when an emergency will occur, which is why you should always have enough cash on hand. It should be stashed away in a place that's easily accessible. If you have a hidden safe, such as a floor safe somewhere in your home, this is great, but if you don't, there are some things to think about. You should have 1 or 2 months worth of living expenses set aside. However, never tell anyone, except your spouse, about how much you've tucked away or where it's hidden. Just make certain that you remember where it is and the amount. This is just for emergencies, not to serve as a replacement for a savings account at a local bank or investments with a broker or financial planner. Break up the denominations and instead of keeping it in a roll of $100 bills. It's often tempting to keep it all in one place, but don't. There are places that sell various common items designed to hide cash inside, and they can usually be found online at home safety sites or places that sell spyware. Sometimes hardware stores have lockboxes that you can hide in your attic or basement. Get creative. This is from J.A. in Washington. Keeping away bugs. Dear Eloise, every year I've had to clean out my rather large pantry at least 4 or 5 times. We live out in the country, so we always buy groceries in bulk. As clean as I try to keep my pantry, weevils and other creepy crawlies get into packages of food. In the end, I have to toss out all my flour, sugar, coffee, and more. How they got in was a mystery, and no matter what I did to try to stop them, bugs still managed to invade our food. Finally, I realized that there was nothing else I could do except invest in plastic and glass containers. Boxes of muffin mixes, cake mixes, and other foods in boxes were stored in large bins. I bought large plastic containers online to keep all cereals, sugar, oatmeal, flour, and other similar things in containers that make it impossible for bugs to get inside. I wish I had done this years ago. Now I'm saving a bundle by not replacing the foods that we have to eat because insects are no longer ruining our food. This is from NS in Texas. Cleaning off cheese. Dear Eloise, to clean gooey, messy cheese from dishes, utensils, kettles, and brushes, just put it in cold water to firm up the mess. Then it scrapes right off. I've been doing dishes for 79 years and just discovered this. This is from BL via email. Holiday envelopes. Dear Eloise, when I receive cards during the past holiday season, I would display them and keep the envelopes instead of trashing them. This year, this season, I decided just to alphabetize the envelopes according to the return address labels. Because of this, I was able to prepare my cards quickly and get them distributed earlier. This is from C in California. No germs. Dear readers, ask your doctor whether they recommend a flu shot, a COVID booster, or the respiratory syncytial virus. This is RSV. Vaccine shot for you. Stay safe and germ-free this winter. This is from Eloise. And now we have your astrology, Royal Stars, with Georgia Nichols. Happy birthday for Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. You are strong, determined, and organized, and you have business savvy. You're a natural reader. This year has been the beginning of a new 9-year cycle for you. It still offers opportunities for new directions and chances to explore new opportunities. Today, you might feel sympathetic to a family member. Nevertheless, be aware of the limitations of the moon alert today and avoid spending money except for on food on gas or making important decisions during this time. Forewarned is forearmed. Tonight, socialize. And that was for Aries, by the way. Taurus, this is a dreamy, absent-minded day, and you might have some idealistic but unrealistic ideas. Be aware of the restrictions of the moon alert, and don't shop during this time, except for food or gas. Tread carefully tonight, cocoon. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. Today, you're focused on financial matters, cash flow, and perhaps wanting to spend money. However, most of the day is on a moon alert, which means that it's a poor day to spend money except on food and gas. Be aware of this. Tonight, discussions. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd. For most of this day, you might feel more emotional than usual and probably indecisive. It will be hard to make decisions. One thing to know is to avoid shopping during this moon alert. Restrict your spending to food and gas. Tonight, check your belongings. Today, you will seek out privacy and be happy to work alone or behind the scenes. Avoid important decisions. However, late in the day, the moon will go into your sign and will energize you. Suddenly, it's all systems go. Tonight, you win. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. Discussions with members and groups will interest you today. However, agree to nothing important because most of this day is on a moon alert. However, it's a creative day. It's a good day to kick around ideas and explore options. Tonight, seek privacy. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd. People notice you today. In fact, some people know personal details about your private life. Be aware of this in case you have to do some damage control. Postpone important decisions or shopping, except for food and gas, until after the moon alert is over. Tonight, friendships. You might not be able to get much done today. However, having said that, this is a potentially creative day for many people. That's because you can think outside the box. Nevertheless, don't push yourself. Escape somewhere if you can. Check the moon alert. Tonight, you're noticed. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. Although you might be focused on financial matters, especially something to do with taxes, debt, insurance issues, or shared property, this is a poor day to make important decisions or to spend money. Do your homework. Get your facts. Wait until tomorrow or until the moon alert is over. Tonight, explore. Capricorn, December 22nd, January to 19th. For most of the day today, the moon is opposite your sign. Quite likely, you will feel sympathetic to someone close to you. However, because the moon alert is in effect for most of this day, it's a poor time to make important decisions or to spend money. Be aware of this. Tonight, check your finances. You, Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. You feel sympathetic to others today. You might want to help a coworker. If not a coworker, then perhaps someone related to your health or pet. Wait until the moon alert is over to make important decisions or to spend money. Tonight, listen and cooperate. Finally, Pisces, February 19th through March 20th. Today is a fabulous creative day for you. If you work in the arts or any creative projects, you need to focus and develop your artistic talents, the energy of this day will support you. You will easily explore new ideas. Postpone spending money, except on food and gas, until the moon alert is over. Tonight, get organized. And finally, in sports, Arizona Gymcats showcase squad set to kick off seasons with a trip to Oceanside, California. It's from the Arizona Daily Star. Tosonans got their first look at the Arizona Gymcats Saturday as part of the squad's annual showcase. The 2025 season will get underway January 4th at the Pacific Coast Collegiate Challenge meet at against Southern Utah, Rutgers, and Wilberforce in Oceanside, California. The event is one of five away meets. The schedule will also include six home meets, all of which will be televised on ESPN+. The home meet launches January 17th with the Air Force, to be followed by Denver on January 31st, Utah February 7th, Iowa State February 14th, BYU March 8th, and Utah State March 14th. In addition to Oceanside, the Gymcats will hit the road for the ESPN Collegiate Squad Quad on January 10th in Oklahoma City, and this will also feature Clemson, Michigan, North Carolina State. They will also take on Arizona State on January 26th on the road before heading to Fort Worth, Texas for the Metroplex Challenge on February 21st against Arkansas, Oregon State, and SEMO. The final away meet will be West Virginia on February 28th. The Big 12 Championships are set for March 22nd. And thank you for listening to the Arizona Daily Star, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona and read for you by David Grant. This was December 17th, 2024. Have a great holiday.